Proverbs chapter 5. As we continue in our study in the book of Proverbs, we covered chapter 4 last week. And last week it was dealing with wisdom. And the point is that God's wisdom is our goal. We need to have His wisdom and apply it to every facet of our lives. And so there were four main points. And the first point, and this works for any issue of faith or any issue of spirituality, is that we need to be disciplined. We need to be disciplined. And in verse 1, we need to hear, okay? We need to attend, okay? Because we need to be attentive. We need, in verse 2, it says, we need to understand that we need to be attracted to good doctrine, to things that are pleasing. Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are honest and pure and just, there be any virtue, be any praise, what? Think on these things. And then we need to be accepting in verses 3 and 4. The second point was is that we need to be determined. We need to be determined that we would do the things. It says, get wisdom, okay? And we saw that there were 8 commands that we were supposed to do, but we were supposed to put all of our effort and all of our heart into it. And that is the extent. The expectation is, if you follow God, God will bless. If you follow God, you will be in God's will. If you follow God, you'll be doing the right thing and you won't have any fear because God will be with you. So we need to be disciplined and we need to be determined. The third thing is we need to be directed. We need to be able to apply wisdom to our thinking. We need to apply wisdom to our walk. We need to apply wisdom to our desire. And then we need to avoid wickedness. And we're going to go back into this tonight. Bottom line is, don't go there. If there's a wicked place, don't go there. If there's a wicked person, don't be with them. Okay? Don't go there. Think of the consequences, and we'll see again tonight as we get more instruction on how to do it. There's nothing good there. There's nothing good there. So we need to be disciplined. We need to be determined. We need to be directed to God's way and stay on the right path. And the next thing is we need to advance light. Every choice we have is a choice to get closer to God or go away from God. It's either to fulfill Scripture positively or fulfill Scripture negatively. So we need to have our Christ-led path starts out this way, and we need to continue on it. The path should get brighter every day. The opposite happens when you're going the wrong way. You get into darkness, and the further you get away from God, the darker it gets. The darker it gets. And then lastly, we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent to God's Word. We need to be diligent with our heart because the issues of life are out of it. We need to be diligent with our words and think before we speak. And just like James says, that we're quick to hear and slow to speak. And then we need to be diligent with our eyes, and we need to be diligent where we go and what we do. Job chapter 28 verse 12 says, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? So chapter 5 is something that our culture needs today. It really needs this today. There's too much stuff going on outside of marriage. And Solomon's going to give his son guidance on this tonight. And so tonight, the title of this study is The Choices of Wisdom. The Choices of Wisdom. And basically, wisdom, God's wisdom, will only work when it's the right, when it's chosen. When you make a choice to follow it. Now, this chapter is divided up in basically in 2 sections. The first one talks about being seduced, or beware of being seduced. And the last one talks about being honorable in a marriage. But in way of introduction, in Psalm 112, verses 1 through 5, the psalmist says this, it says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and in his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. And here's the key. A good man. Who's a good man? Not what you think is good, but what God says is good. A righteous man, a good man, someone who's following God, showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. He'll do the right thing at the right time for the right reason to the right people because he's doing it with the right motivation to serve God. So with that in mind, we go into the first point. Solomon is telling his son and all of us who read this to beware of seduction. We know in James that every man sins when he's what? Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We heard Sunday that we're supposed to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Not supposed to love those things. Colossians says we're supposed to set our affections on things above. So beware of seduction because it's always around. And we're just not talking about immorality in a sexual sense. We're talking about anything that would draw us into sin. So the first point is found in verses 1 and 2. We need to be virtuous. Virtue is essential to overcome seduction. So in verses 1 and 2, it says, "My son." Notice how all these chapters kind of start out the same way? Because they're all individual lessons. It says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion." We already heard about that the good man rules his affairs with discretion, "and that thy lips may keep knowledge." Solomon is telling us four things to do. Once again, attend to wisdom. Okay? The second thing, bow your ear or listen to it. You know, like when E.F. Hutton, you all saw those old E.F. Hutton commercials. Everybody, E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody turns like this. We need to be listening to God like that. He speaks to us all day long in everything that we do. We need to bow our ear to understanding. Why? So you can regard discretion. So you have the forethought and you say, I wonder what the right thing to do is. Instead of just plowing through things without thinking about it. There's a lot of people that speak and act without thinking. Okay? That thou mayest regard discretion. And the fourth thing is that your lips may keep knowledge. You know, the first way you can see someone that's kind of going away from God, listen to their talk. Listen what they're talking about. Listen what they're saying. Listen to the words they're using. Okay? And so we need to have virtue in our lives, and it needs to be essential. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, we've seen this passage before. But this is kind of like being on that path that chapter 4 says that's supposed to get brighter every day. And besides this, giving what? All diligence. That's what we needed to be diligent in the last part of chapter 4. We need to be diligent all the time because temptation's out there. Seduction is out there. And all to add to your faith. What? Virtue. It starts with virtue. It starts with salvation. But once we have a relationship with Christ, then we need to be virtuous because virtue is essential. It's the foundation for this. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. What's our goal? Godliness. That's our goal. You can't be godly unless you have faith. You can't be godly unless you have virtue. You can't be godly unless you do the right thing and have discretion. You can't be godly if you're constantly being seduced. You can't be godly if you have the wrong way of thinking and the wrong words. So in verses 1 and 2, we see that virtue is essential. And then the rest of this first part, verses 3 through 14, says that vigilance is absolutely 100% necessary. I don't like people say, well, I just fall into sin. No, you walked into it. You made a choice and you went there. The devil didn't make you do it. You chose to go there. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 says this, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Look around. Learn your lessons. Look around. Not as fools, but as what? Wise. Wise people have wisdom. Wise people have discretion. So, in verses 3 through 6 here, we need to be able to see temptation and the consequences. You know, it's out there. You look at a billboard, you can't help but miss it. But the point is, what do you do after the first look? Do you look in that? Or do you look away and say, God, help me? Okay? It's there. It's what you're going to do when you see it the first time. So, to see temptation, and if you understand what the consequences are of being seduced, it would cause you not to be seduced. Makes sense. In verse 3, it says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." These are words. And folks, flattery needs to be to your wife or to your husband and no one else. Okay? Because it can lead to a trap. And so that's what he's saying here. He said, look, don't listen to the siren sound of an adulteress. She's trying to entice you, or he's trying to entice you. And folks, if you're hearing things that you want to hear that your husband should be saying or your wife should be saying, and you're hearing it from somebody else, you better get away. You better get away. That's the temptation. Here's the consequences. Here's the consequences of being seduced. But her end is as bitter as what? Wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Now, if you think of those consequences, then her words won't entice. See, the point is, the words are there. It happens. It's how you react to them. And if you react to them to fall into the sin, then you're not considering the consequences. You're not considering all the things that you're going to give up because of this. And so he goes here and says, "Lest thou should ponder the path of," some translations say, "her life." Okay? But the issue is you ought to consider, you're given a choice. All these things are a choice. Why in the road? You can go the right way. You can go the wrong way. You can go the narrow way that leads to righteousness, or you could look, broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. You have a choice. Well, it's harder to do this. Well, yeah. That's why you need God's grace. That's why you need faith. That's why you need virtue. That's why you need build on top of all these things. So when you see something that could be a temptation, understand that it's a test. Understand you have a choice. And understand the consequences of doing the wrong thing. I mean, that's not wormwood, two-edged sword, death, hell. Those aren't appealing things at all. And so Solomon said, hey, if this happens to you, just consider those things and you won't want it. And you won't want it. So vigilance is necessary to see temptation. And if you understand the consequences of that, it will make you less prone to do it. It will make you less prone to do it. Verses 7 through 14, vigilance is necessary to avoid temptation. So in verses 7 and 8, Solomon says, hey, if this happens, just stay away from it. Just stay away from it. He says, hear me now, therefore, O ye children. He's just not talking to one person now. He's talking to all of us. Talking to us. Hear me now, therefore, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Okay, I want you to listen to what I have to say about this. And you know Solomon? He figured it out after he made a mess of things. Yep. So what's the solution? Don't go there. Same thing as last chapter. Remove thy way. How far? Far. How far is far? As far as you can make it. Remove thy way far from her. And if you think about what far is, I'll just tell you, don't come nigh to the door of her house. Don't go there. It's the same thing. To avoid being seduced by any sin, don't go into the presence of it. See it for what it is. Understand the consequences of it. And then get out of there. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't keep company with fornicators and all these other things it says in Ephesians. Just get away. Get away. So to avoid temptation, you need to stay away. To avoid temptation, you need to stay aware of the consequences of being seduced. So if the first warning wasn't good enough, Solomon goes on, and God's word goes on and says, you're going to lose these things. The first one is lost honor. In verse 9 it says this, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. So what? If you don't remove your way far from her, if you don't go nigh to her, if you go stay, don't go nigh to her house, if you don't do that, this is what's going to happen. You're going to give your honor unto others. You're going to have a cause for someone to say something. The second thing, lost wealth. Lost wealth. Remember what the righteous man had in Psalm 112? Wealth and riches are in his what? House. Look at what this says. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. You know, you watch the TV shows. You know, that leads to blackmail, doesn't it? We got the dirt on you, okay? You pay us to be quiet. Kind of goes in that kind of thing. But lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Because, you know, once you go into sin, you stay there a lot longer than you thought. And you do things that you... a lot more than you should have. So, stay aware of the consequences of being seduced. You have lost honor. Our virtue is important. It's essential. Lost wealth. Number three, lost joy. Lost joy. And thou mourn at the last, and when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. You don't want to have, you don't want how you can stay away from certain diseases? Stay faithful to one person. That's it. Lost joy, lost honor, lost wealth, lost joy, lost testimony. Lost testimony. Verses 12 through 14. And here's what happens. So, you don't listen, you go do it, you don't stay away, you go do it, and then all of a sudden, now you have to deal with the consequences. And how many of us have done the wrong thing? We knew it was a wrong thing to go in when going into it. Did it anyway. And then at the end you say, why was I so dumb? What on earth possessed me to do that? Hindsight is always 20/20. But look at this. Look at what happens if this happened in these people's lives. And say, how have I hated instruction? You go out and you willfully sin, you're basically not loving God because you don't keep His commandments. And all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in the way of righteousness. And my heart, remember this is an issue of the what? Heart despised reproof. When someone said, don't go there, I'm going to do it. So look at that. Come to your senses and say, oh man, why did I do that? Gets worse. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me, point. Oh, by the way, this verse, I was almost in all evil. There's not much more I could have done evil. That's what that's really saying there. After I go down and I get seduced, there's not much more I could have done. I trashed my testimony. I'm doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. And I came to my senses too late. Don't do that. Come to your senses early. Avoid it. Keep away. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the what? Congregation and the assembly. And I'll tell you, you might try to keep it a secret, but it's going to come out. Be sure your sin will find you out. God says He will by no means clear the guilty. Whatsoever you sow, that ye shall also reap. Just look at the prophets when they went to the kings and said, all your wickedness is going to be shown to the open world. And you know, there's nothing more sadder than a disgraced pastor. Or a disgraced Christian. Or someone who was looked up as being honorable and virtuous and then found out in the end that they weren't. You know, if the landmarks be removed, what shall the people do? So there's lost honor and there's lost wealth. There's lost testimony. So to avoid temptation, stay aware of the consequences of being seduced. But I like when the Bible says this is what happens if you do this way, but then this is what happens when you go the other way. And there's encouragement. We should always look for the encouragement in God's Word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and 4, it says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would what? Abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Okay? You call yourself a Christian. You're living with someone else, not married. I'm sorry, you're not in the will of God. You're in sin. Because fornication is any sort of sexual sin outside of marriage. It's any sort of sex outside of marriage. Plain and simple. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. God wants us set apart. He wants us to be a holy vessel. Because he who sins in this man sins against himself also. That ye should what? Abstain from fornication. And that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That's your body. In sanctification and honor. Folks, our society today needs a good dose of that. Our society today needs a good dose of God's love. Our society today needs Christians to stand up for being virtuous and doing the right thing and show a good example. Instead of going along with the flow. That's God's standard. There's another thing. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in what? There's that word. All. And the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, you don't get away with it. God will judge. God will judge. So now there's encouragement. So the first 14 verses talk about beware of seduction. Virtue is essential. Vigilance is necessary. But the last part talks about being sanctified. And he uses the marriage as the principle here. Oh, by the way, Paul wrote the same thing in Ephesians 5. We need to understand that we're one flesh with Christ because we're part of the church and we're the bride of Christ. Israel at that time was betrothed to God Jehovah. It's the same thing. So we need to be sanctified. How can you be set apart to be a vessel of honor? You need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. Stay home. It's not a COVID thing. Stay home. Proverbs 5 verse 15 says, drink waters out of thy own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. You have a wife, don't go looking for it someplace else. That's it. That's what this means. It's not talking about water. Okay? Telling you be faithful to your wife. You stay home. And if you're thinking about, if someone's out there thinking about this, stay home. Amen. Stay home. A second one. Stay honorable. Verses 16 through 17. Let thy fountains, and this is talk about children. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the street. Let them be thine own and not strangers with thee. You keep it inside the marriage. You stay home. You stay honorable. The third thing is, you stay happy. Stay happy. Proverbs 5 verses 18 through 19. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth, even when she gets old. Because guess what? You get old too. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Yeah, you have to read it. It's God's word. Okay? And be thou ravished always with her love. Because if you are, you wouldn't go looking anywhere else.
True.
You won't go looking anywhere else. Folks, that's God's standard.
Yeah.
Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. Supposed to be one man, one woman for life. Now, I know that others have had some other things and they may be divorced and everything else. God gives grace. God gives grace. But this is what Solomon's instruction was for this. So be sanctified by being faithful. Folks, that works in any sin. That works in any spiritual realm. It works. Stay home. Stay at home with God. Stay at home in God's house. Stay at home in God's family. See, it works. Stay honorable. Inside your family, inside your relationships, inside with God. And then stay happy. Paul said, whatever state I'm in, I've learned how what? To be content. And see, I guarantee it, if you start feeling discontent about something, someone will say something to you that'd be attractive. So be sanctified by faithfulness. Be sanctified by flawlessness. Flawlessness. Proverbs 20 through 23, and we'll close. Says, and what? Why will thy, my son? So, with these guidance and everything, you shouldn't go there. It says, why will thy, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? If you hear my instruction and you do wisdom and you have discretion and you understand the consequences and you understand her paths, the paths of the adulterer, and you understand losing all these things, why would you in a million years even consider it? Stay flawless. It's an opportunity. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction. And in the greatness of his follies, he shall go astray. There's 3 points here. Think of your choices. You want to stay flawless? You want to stay pure and honorable to God? Think of your choices. Even the little things. The second thing we need to understand, think of who is watching, because God is watching. And the third thing is this. Think of the consequences. Think of the consequences. And if you don't like that, go read Hebrews 9 and 10 tonight. Now, I'll kind of put some perspective on you. Okay? So in closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Beware of seduction. Be sanctified. Be sanctified by being faithful. Be sanctified by being flawless. Think of your choices. Think of who's watching. Think of the consequences here. Think of how much you lose when you do wrong. Think of how much you gain when you do right. I put before you, God gave the nation of Israel a choice. He said, I put before you blessing and cursing. Choose. Choose. That's not a hard choice at all. Then why do we mess up? Why do we mess up? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your instruction. Father, Lord, just help us to stay faithful. Lord, help us to stay faithful to you spiritually, that we wouldn't be seduced by the devil. We wouldn't be seduced by sin. and Father, that we would follow you with all of our heart. Help us, Lord, to be sanctified, Lord. Help us to be beware. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior today, Lord, I just pray that they would come to a saving knowledge of you. Father, for us as Christians, Lord, help us, Lord, to always be mindful of the temptation that's out there. And help us always be mindful of our choices and the consequences either path would take, that we would do the right thing. Father, help us, Lord, to follow you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, and all of our strength. We give you this time of invitation. We give you ourselves. And we ask that you just help us. And you ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.